light specks swirl in a blue blur, forming into the words, Momentum Pictures. Two black leader tapes spell out Paramount Vantage. An arc of blue light above the words, Overture Films, a Starts company. Overture Films, a process production. From side on, a man in his mid-60s, wearing a black shirt, sits at a piano in a dark room. His hands moving lightly across the keys are reflected in the polished raised piano lid. The man's lips flutter as he mouths the notes, his lined face absorbed by his task. He sighs faintly to himself. A fair-haired woman in her 40s fiddles with her keys as she comes along a pavement. A postman comes down the steps of a tall, grey North London house.
Morning, Paddy.
Morning, Kate. Looking lovelier than ever. If I was only a younger man...
Oh, shut up.
Kate, in a raincoat and brown boots, hurries up the stone steps and lets herself in. She comes through the leaded stained glass panelled front door and picks up the post.
It's me, your daughter.
The man at the piano continues to play. Kate's wan-looking mother is in the kitchen in her dressing gown.
Post, have a cup of tea with me.
Can't, I'm running late. Sorry.
A young guy knocks on the glass partition of the sound studio where the pianist is playing, indicating that he's arrived.
He's at it again.
Who? At what?
The new neighbour. Barbecuing or something.
Kate's mother Maggie peers through the window.
I've heard he's from Poland.
Oh, well, you know, maybe Polish people like to barbecue a lot. I can't find your... Oh, here it is.
Where'd you put this?
It's my toothbrush thingy. Just stop fiddling. Prescription. Now listen, you do not have to keep taking these, the doctor said.
I like to. Makes me feel better.
All right, well, listen, I'm off. I'll see you later. I'll call you later.
You got that date thing tonight?
Kate butters a piece of toast.
I don't know. Maybe.
Time and tide, Kate, as your father liked to say.
Was that from his terrace in the south of France?
Maggie tenses.
Sorry, that was mean.
Kate puts her arms around her.
Hug me. Hug me.
Maggie returns the hug.
Boy, Mum. I am a cow.
Maggie smiles wryly to herself. The pianist stands up.
Put my score up first.
They don't want to hear it, Harvey.
I know, but I want to see it. Put it up.
I'm backed up already.
Johnny, you were the one that was late. Just put it up.
Johnny, the sound engineer, reluctantly presses playback. Harvey, the pianist, sits looking at a TV monitor showing a commercial for OxyClean, to which his musical composition is set. The cleaning product zaps a stain, the stain melts away. OxyClean is cleaner, brighter, and whiter.
Okay. Listen, Harvey, Marvin wants me to present my ideas while you're away.
Huh?
Look, I'm not doing myself any favors here, Harvey, but I'd watch your back.
Harvey's eyes flicker.
Marvin! Hey, Marvin!
Hey, Harvey. Shouldn't you be in London?
Yeah, I'm heading there now. What's going on?
Huh?
Johnny said something about you wanting him to present on
Monday. Oh, yeah, no. I was just thinking that, with you being in London, you should stay a while.
What?
You know, just there's no need to rush back. Enjoy your daughter's wedding.
What?
Well, Johnny can do it. I mean, he can pitch this Amerson account.
No, I'm coming back. Those are my connections. They have been for years.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... They got new people there, you know? I just think they might want something different.
No, I really want to come back. I should be there in person.
In person?
Yeah, I want to stand behind my music.
But nobody cares. Harvey, what? They're demos. They're already pressed. Nobody gives a shit. They don't need to see you. They don't need to see me.
I'm back Monday, Marvin. I'm coming back.
Well, you better land this one, Harvey.
What does that mean?
It means what it means. I don't
know. Marvin's eyes look shifty.
Say it.
There are no more chances, Harvey.
Marvin gets into his car, parked in the rain-soaked underground car park.
Enjoy London.
He drives off. The picture fades to black. The title: Last Chance Harvey. Kate, standing in a queue waiting to get on a bus, pops the paperback she's reading into her roomy bag as she climbs aboard. On the bus, she's once again engrossed in her reading, and later still on a suburban overland train. She presses her head against the train window with a pensive expression. On a packed overnight flight, Harvey, wide awake in a center seat, glances at the redhead next to him.
Are you on holiday?
No. Business. You?
Oh, my daughter's getting married.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Well, kind of. I mean, she's American, he's American, and they're still getting married in London. I told her we have a perfectly good wedding system here. I mean, they both work in London, that's why they're...
There you are, sir.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Can I just give you this?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A flight attendant has brought him a drink.
Does flying make you nervous?
No. I do it all the time.
Oh, I don't like it. I have to fortify myself. You know that old joke one guy says to the other, you know, I can't...
You know what? I have got meetings in the morning when we land, so I think I'm going to try and get some sleep.
Sure.
Sorry, just I'll be useless if I don't get some sleep.
No, go on.
The woman settles down to sleep. Harvey stays awake. At Heathrow, Kate arrives at the Public Statistics Agency desk, tying her hair in a scrunchie as she comes up to a black woman doing a crossword.
Morning, Aggie.
Morning, darling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel me lay out on the surface of a liquid.
Scum.
Scum. Manicure 2, 4 and 4.
Come on, Aggie.
What? I'm just testing you.
Nail file.
Sorry.
Oh,
Morning.
Oh, thank God you're my boss, Kate. Morning, Aggie.
Morning, darling.
So, we still on for tonight? Matt's definitely bringing Simon.
No. I'm scared.
Oh, no, don't be scared. He's gorgeous. Oh, he's a big, strong, confident, gorgeous fella. You'll love him. He's beautiful.
All right, look, I'll come, but only if you two swear blind you will not leave me on my own with him.
Oh, no, I promise. Absolutely.
Can I trust her?
No. Oh, of course you can trust me. We'll drive you home. We'll drive both of you home, depending on what home you're going to.
Shut up.
Yeah, he's got his own business.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of business?
I don't know exactly. I think it's stationery.
Oh. Always loved stationery.
Kate has put on a uniform. Harvey waits for his bag with a drawn, exhausted face and then joins the other arriving passengers on a walkway.
So not a business trip, then?
No. Unless you count 3 grandchildren as work.
Some might.
That's true.
Thank you very much for your time. You're all done.
Thank you.
Safe trip home. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Kate has bent over her clipboard as Harvey comes towards her, wheeling his tote bag. He sees her and deliberately veers out of her path.
Excuse me, sir. I wonder if I should trouble you for two minutes of your time.
No.
It won't take a second.
No. I'm tired, you know?
Yes, I do.
He glances back at her with an awkward look and then hurries on. Outside the terminal, he gets into a black cab.
Hi, Susie, it's your dad. I made it. I'm in a taxi on the way to the hotel. I guess all you guys are already there. Anyways, I really look forward to seeing you and everybody else. I can't wait. Love you. Bye-bye.
Sitting in the back of the cab, he runs his electric shaver across his chin.
It's Harvey Schein here. Just want to confirm that Mike is going to be in the... in the mix Monday, and I'm reachable by my cell phone. You probably have the number on file, but just in case, it's 917-384-5368. You may need an international code, so, you know, I think you have to dial 0044, or it may be, I'm not sure, it could be 011. You can try 44, then 1, and then 917. Whatever it is, whether it's 044 or 44 or 011, after that you may have to put a 1. Hello?
He trudges through the revolving glass door of his hotel, his spiky hair uncombed, a hangdog expression on his face. He looks about him, then crosses to the reception desk.
Hi. I'm with the wedding party. There should be a room for me, Harvey Schein.
The silver-haired receptionist checks his screen.
Yes, we have a double room for you.
Good. Has everyone else checked in?
I'm not sure, sir.
My daughter, Susan Shine, or she may already be going by the name Wright, Susan Wright. W-R-I-G-H-T.
No, sir, no one of that name. It's room 522.
On an upstairs floor, Harvey lets himself into his room. He peers through the window at the rainy street below. He tries to open it. He pulls a sunscreen down a few inches. It falls down all the way.
Oh, boy. Hello? Hi, Susie. I'm here. Where are you? Where is everybody? Oh, I didn't realize. I thought the plan was for everybody to stay together. No, I just wasn't sure. I didn't know I was going to be here by myself. I thought that, anyway, so your mom, she rented a house for all of you, huh? Oh, come on, I'm a big boy. I'm happy here. It's very cozy. Yes, I have the address. Yeah, I love you too. I'll see you there.
In a busy street, Kate, in a grey cowl neck and jeans, answers her mobile.
Hello, Mum.
What you wearing?
Purple dungarees.
Oh, you're not.
No, not really. I'm wearing a miniskirt and a boob tube.
They're totally back in.
Oh, you're just being silly. Now, don't be nervous. Just be yourself.
Yes, thanks for the advice.
Oh, listen, I've been thinking about Greece.
Yeah. OK, well, can we talk about that later? All right, bye.
Bye.
Maggie pulls back the net curtain on the kitchen window and sneaks a peek at the bald-headed, mustachioed neighbour in singlet and jeans. He looks up and gives her a friendly wave. She retreats from the window. Kate hurries into a pub.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Don't tell me, your mother.
Yeah.
She and Una kiss.
Cheers.
Thank God. Oh.
They sip some wine.
She's, she's just on about some Pole living next to her is barbecuing a lot.
Oh, very suspicious.
No, well, that's what she thinks.
Well, they're here.
Okay.
He's at the bar. Very nice fella. Very chatty.
Okay.
I like him. He's Matt.
Hey. Hi, Matt.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm good too. You.
Kate, this is Sam.
Hello, how do you do?
Nice to meet you.
So you're in stationery?
I'm IT, computing.
You told me it was stationery.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she'd had a lot.
Well, a bit of stationery involved. Mainly computing, though.
So not stationary.
Let's sit down, doesn't matter.
Sorry.
That's just that I...
Cheers, lads.
Harvey asleep on the double bed in his soulless room, wakes with a start.
Shit.
He takes a shower. He unzips his suit carrier and puts on a brand new stone-coloured suit, which still has the label on. He pulls back the jacket and, slipping his hands in his trouser pockets, takes a look at his side view in the mirrored wardrobe door. In a cab after dark, he adjusts his blue tie and runs his hands through his hair. As he does so, he notices a security tag attached to his sleeve. Vainly, he tries to pull it off. The cab pulls up outside a trendy-looking Oriental restaurant. He hurries up a narrow staircase, trying to hold down his cuff with his fingers to hide the offending tag. Three younger men are chatting.
Hey, Harvey.
Hey.
Harvey, you made
Scott,
it.
How are
hey,
you, man?
Whoa.
Harvey extends his fist to Scott.
This is Susan's father, Harvey.
How you doing?
Harvey Shine. This is Josh Hillman and my best man, Pete Turner.
How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Harvey?
Great.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
Yeah, you too. How are you holding up?
Great. Just can't wait to marry Susie, really.
Is she here?
Oh, she's in there. Oh. She'll be thrilled you're here.
Oh, good.
I'll just go and find her.
Yeah. Oop.
Harvey moves away.
Hello? Yeah, it's Harvey. What? No, that's not right. I need this. I need Mike. No, I told him 2 weeks ago. I booked him. What? No, but I... Look, just tell him to call me, okay? I booked him. I'll talk to you later. I'm sorry, it's always something.
Sure, yeah. So, it's your field, Harvey.
Well, I'm in the music business.
Oh, wow. Doing what?
You know, TV, background, commercials.
Cool, what kind of stuff?
Commercials.
Sounds profitable.
Yeah, it can be. So you guys are, you work for Scott?
We work with Scott. Scott, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is that, oil?
Futures, yeah. It's.
Well, that can be profitable.
As it's smoking.
Yeah, okay. I think I should just look for my daughter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, right. Nice to meet you.
We'll
see
you guys too. Yeah.
In the pub.
Yeah, sure.
He's got to be younger than me. Well, look, he's young. He's plenty of energy. He's lovely. Big hands.
You don't just say anything.
No, he's not. Don't answer that phone.
I've got to answer it.
Kate, come on. It's your mom. You know it's your mom.
I know. She's on her own. Come on.
Yeah. So are you. She is like human contraception. Honest to God, she's ruining your sex life.
Shut up.
Just tell
you
her.
You go. Hello, Mum.
Yeah, hi.
Can I ring you back?
Yeah, because I'm out. Okay, bye.
Kate, standing on the stairs leading to the pub loo, peers up through the banisters to sneak a peek at Simon's back view. He's sitting at the table by himself. She smiles nervously and puffs out her cheeks. At the pre-wedding party, Harvey looks across the bar area at Scott talking to a young woman with long, wavy, dark hair and wearing a patterned grey dress. She turns towards him.
Hi.
Hi. I'll see you guys. Hi.
Wow, let me look. Oh.
She gives him a twirl.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. You look
like a bad lounge actor.
No, you know, you look very, very nice.
No, they told me that everyone was going to wear white here. But I was misinformed.
It looks good.
Good.
I like it.
Thank you.
They both look slightly awkward.
How was your flight?
Fine. So, that's your guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long way to come to see two American kids get married.
Sorry for the inconvenience.
No, that's just a bad joke, because I'm jet lagged. I'm sorry.
Have you seen Mom?
No, is she here with Brian?
Yeah, they're over by our table.
Oh. So, is the house your mother rented for almost everyone nice?
Dad.
What? No, I just had to get it out of my system. I'm sorry. It really is good to see you. Give me a hug.
Scott comes up with a woman on each arm.
Hey, look who I've got.
Hi. Oh my gosh, hello.
Hi.
Harvey retreats. In the pub, Kate comes up the stairs and looks up in alarm at the sight of Matt and Una about to leave.
So we've got to go now. Maybe Sarah just rang. Be a bit of trouble at home, but nothing serious.
Nothing serious.
But you stay.
All right.
You enjoy yourself, you miserable cow, and turn that phone off. You working tomorrow?
Yes, half day.
I can't believe you give yourself Sundays.
All right.
I'll see you Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Thanks.
Bye.
Una goes off giving Kate an unsubtle wink.
Looks like we've been set up.
Yes. Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I mean, I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm happy to meet new people.
Yes. Don't mind.
Why don't you sit down?
Kate joins Simon at the table.
So you're Una's boss?
Yes. I'm saying yes a lot.
Yeah.
She drains her glass.
Would you like another drink?
Sure. I'll get them.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
What would you like?
Can I have a glass of white wine? Anything dry?
Dry.
Thanks.
She gives a little shiver and tries to calm down. Over at the bar, Simon's been joined by a smiling brunette and another couple.
Andy? Nice to see you.
Gwen?
Kate watches Simon laughing and joking with the newcomers. Her mobile rings.
Mum, can you stop ringing? Hang on, I can't hear you. Hang on a sec.
She grabs her bag and heads for the door to take the call. Harvey at the wedding party, his jacket over his arm, comes down some steps towards two long tables set for dinner and two couples standing between them. He strolls in their direction. Tall, white-haired Brian with Harvey's ex-wife Jean and the other couple watch him approach.
Harvey.
James.
Harvey, good to see you.
You too.
Looking good.
Hi.
Hi.
Harvey.
So, a little girl's getting married.
Jean smiles stiffly.
Harvey, you remember the Watsons, huh? Barry and, of course, Jill?
Hi. I'm Barry.
Harvey?
Boy, I haven't seen you guys since Jean and I...
You look well.
Thank you. You look weller.
Thank you.
Barry, you too.
Thanks, Harvey.
It's good to see you. How's your son?
Daughter. Betsy's fine.
Right.
A little later, Harvey makes his way along the table, trying to find his seat. He drapes his jacket over the back of a chair between Barry and a long-haired brunette. He answers his phone.
I gotta take this. Can you hold on, please? Sorry. Yeah.
He squeezes past the back of the diners and stumbles into a bed of small decorative white stones dividing the two sides of the restaurant.
It's going to take 2 hours max, no longer. Have you told him it's for me? Look, we have to go back. He'll tell you. Just have him call me, okay? All right, I really gotta go. Okay, bye.
Kate comes back to the table to find the bubbly brunette and the other couple sitting with Simon.
Sorry, I bumped into these guys. I couldn't shake. Everyone's Kate.
Sorry, that's okay.
Andrew, Melissa, and Gwen.
Gwen.
Gwen, sorry.
Sorry, I hope we're not barging in.
No, no, not at all, no.
So, how do you two know each other?
We don't, actually. We've got some friends in common. Una.
Ah.
And Matt.
And Matt came. I came with Matt, and Kate works with Una, and they had to rush home.
Just bumped into each other.
Yes. Are you on a blind date?
Yeah.
No, it's not a blind date.
Shall we just leave you to it? Shall we leave
it? No. I mean...
Harvey comes back to the dinner table to find his jacket draped over a different chair.
Jeannie, did you move me, my sweetheart?
No, darling. Dad, I moved you. I thought it might be easier if you needed to get out.
Oh, sure, okay.
Shall we have a quick toast just to get things started? I'm going to save my big speech for tomorrow. Dear Susan and dear Scott, I just want to take us all back to that wonderful holiday that we had in Rome together.
Oh,
and
yes.
Wish you salute.
Salute!
Because Jean and I love you both so much, and we're so happy that Scott is going to be part of our clan now. And
thank
so
you.
I say many, many, many happy, happy years ahead. And salute.
Salute.
Harvey, at the non-family end of the table, gets to his feet.
My turn.
His mobile starts to vibrate. Jean looks at him witheringly.
I thought it was off. Sorry.
He switches it off and raises his glass.
To a great couple.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And cheers again.
Cheers again. Cheers again.
He sits down and sips his champagne.
Let's eat.
Yes. Good idea. Nice.
Dakimasu.
Let's eat. Actually, I'm sorry. Maybe I should call you Dad.
Oh.
Using chopsticks, Harvey takes a mouthful of food. Across the table, he catches Susan's eye and smiles at her. She raises her glass to him with a half-smile, then looks away. The meal continues. In the pub, Simon and his friends are busy chatting. Kate sits at the other end of the table, smiling politely. Melissa turns to her for a second, and she responds with a cheerful grin. The pre-wedding dinner is over, with just a few remaining guests dotted around the table. Harvey is sitting alone at the bar, his whole body tense as he drinks. Jean, a stylish woman with short reddish hair in her late 50s, appears at his side.
Hello, Jean.
Could I have a glass of water, please?
No ice.
Harvey gives her a blithe smile.
Thank you.
They both drink, she her water, he his scotch.
Are you okay?
I'm excellent.
Go a little easy, okay, Harvey?
Why? Are you afraid I'm going to embarrass you again?
No, I'm afraid you're going to embarrass yourself, Harvey. We're here for Susan. This is her weekend. It's Scott and Susan's weekend.
You're good. You're still good. I mean, you've always known how to make me feel like a piece of shit in 30 seconds.
Well, you gave me a lot of practice.
Why'd you marry me?
He looks at her pointedly.
I was very young. And you were lots of fun.
How's Brian? Is he fun?
He thinks I'm fun. All right, go home now. Get some sleep. Come back and see your daughter get married. Our baby girl's getting married.
Looking him squarely in the face, she picks up her glass and goes. Harvey squeezes his eyes shut with a silent sigh and stays where he is for a moment. He climbs down from the barstool and pulls on his jacket, frowning at the security tag attached to the sleeve. Susan comes up to him.
Hey.
Hey.
Susie.
Dad. You okay?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You enjoying yourself, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That Scott seems like a very good guy.
He is. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to talk to you.
No, no, don't you worry about me. I'm fine. This is about you and Scott. This is your weekend. Huh?
Yeah. So how's work?
Oh, it's all right. You know, it's just different. It's sound design now. It's not music anymore. It's a business. So it's computers and digital, and you just hit a button, and it's a triangle chime. So but that's what it is.
Are you still writing your own stuff?
Well, when I get home, I play a little.
She nods her head with a smile. He turns towards the sound of Scott and the guests at the table.
So listen, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but I have to get back to New York because I have a really important account waiting. It's very serious. So I won't be at the reception in the evening, but I will be at your ceremony, and that's where you're getting married. I wouldn't miss that.
She lowers her eyes.
Dad. I've been thinking. And Brian's been a really big part of my life for the past few years. I'm gonna ask him to give me away tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Harvey's eyes well up as Susan's words sink in. She averts her gaze. They both look down at their feet. Harvey kisses her on both cheeks.
I want you to go be with your friends. I want you to have a good time, and I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Okay.
She walks away, leaving him rooted to the spot, his thin lips pressed together, his tired eyes blinking numbly. He stands leaning on the wall of the men's room, his side view reflected in the mirror. In the pub, Simon and his friends seem oblivious to Kate sitting at the table. With her back against the bench, she glances up with a resigned look and picks up her bag.
Excuse me.
Sipping on his pint, Simon watches her heading for the ladies downstairs. In the cubicle, she sits down on the seat and takes a deep breath. Idly, she fiddles with the decoration. She squeezes her eyes with her fingers and blinks rapidly, the corners of her mouth pointing downward. In a bus on his way back to the hotel, Harvey leans against the bus window as the London street glides past. Kate throws her jacket over her shoulders as she leaves the pub. A cab coming down the street slows down. Harvey hands the driver the fare and gets out in the middle of the street. Kate jumps in through the other door. The cab pulls away. At a registry office the next morning, a justice of the peace officiates at Scott and Susan's wedding.
By the powers vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride.
Scott leans towards his bride, who's in pale pink with a matching flower in her hair, and kisses her. The wedding guests rise to their feet as they applaud the happy couple. Harvey, in a smart dark suit, stands at the back of the room and claps with the rest. Seeing Susan kissing her mother and then Brian, Harvey sighs unhappily. And still clapping, slowly makes his way to the door of the wedding chamber. With a last look back, he catches sight of Brian putting his arm round Jean, and the two of them whispering fondly to each other. Outside, Harvey, carrying his suitcase, hails a cab. At Heathrow, Kate is doing her half-day shift, stopping arriving passengers to ask them a few questions. Harvey's cab is moving at a snail's pace through the jammed-up streets of London.
Can we go another way?
At the airport, Kate, with her hair tied back in a scrunchie and wearing her green uniform, is waiting with her clipboard. Harvey isn't going anywhere very fast. At Heathrow, he slams the door of the cab in anger and frustration. He dashes through the packed airport concourse.
I'm sorry. I have the one for it to JFK. Could you help me?
Sorry, sir. I'm dealing with a passenger. You will have
straight to the gate.
I will answer all your questions, but you will have to wait.
Okay, ma'am. Excuse me. I'm on 130 flight to JFK. I appreciate that, but I'm on 130 flight to JFK.
That flight's now closed.
No. The plane doesn't take off for 40 minutes. I just want you to check in.
The gate is already closed.
But all I have is hand luggage. Please just let me through.
Sir, that is not hand luggage.
What, this?
He dumps his bag in a bin.
Now will you let me on, please?
No, sir.
When's the next flight?
The earliest I can get you on for sure is tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow?
Sir, you're going to have to stay calm.
Marvin, it's Harvey. Listen, the traffic was crazy. I'm going to have to reschedule slightly.
Come on, Harvey, the traffic. Jesus, come on.
Frank can set up. I'll email them the queue numbers. And then I'll be there at lunchtime at the latest, you know? I'll come straight from the airport.
Look, just stay in London, will you? Just enjoy your daughter's wedding.
No, Marvin, it's fine. There's no problem.
Harvey.
Frank knows exactly what to do.
Listen,
and Mike
Harvey.
Is going to be right there to help.
Harvey, we've got to talk.
No, listen. I'll be there at lunchtime, Marvin. It's okay.
Harvey.
It's all set up. I'll,
Harvey?
Yeah, what?
It's over.
What? What do you mean?
It's out of my hands. There's people I got to answer to. I'm letting you go. Just we'll talk when you get back.
Harvey removes the mobile from his ear and stands staring out of the vast glass window at the end of the concourse. He wanders into an airport diner. Kate, seen in profile, is sitting at a table reading her book.
Hi. Can I have a Johnny Walker, and if you have a black label, neat?
She glances up for a second as he drops his bag next to the bar.
Thanks.
He sits on a bar stool and knocks back his drink.
Another, please. It's okay.
He glances round and frowns. Then his mouth misses his glass and he spills whiskey all over his shirt.
Oh, shit. Sorry, vulgar American.
Kate idly glances up, but again returns to her reading. Harvey wipes his mouth, then looks over his shoulder at her, sitting half-turned away from him. He swivels his body to face her with a look of recognition.
How you doing?
She glances up as she sips her white wine.
Sorry, by the way.
For what?
I mean, weren't you the gal who tried to ask me some questions and you were just doing your job and I was rude? I'm sorry.
I don't remember, really, but you probably were. Most people are.
She turns back to her book.
Good book?
Would be if I could finish it.
Harvey puts his hands up defensively. He takes another gulp.
That'll help.
What?
I said that'll help.
What, this?
Mm.
Oh, yes, it will, and it is.
Right.
It'll help as much as that trashy novel and a glass of Chardonnay.
Kate's lips tighten and she shifts in her chair. Harvey is almost smiling. Then he bites his lip and shakes his head despairingly.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
He gets down from the bar stool.
I'm sorry, that was out of line.
Go away. Stop apologizing.
It's just that I had a really shitty day.
Join the club.
Oh, no, yours may have been shitty, but mine was shittier. Mine was major shitty, you know? Huh?
She looks up sharply. Then her face softens.
How shitty?
I missed the plane, I lost my job, and my daughter, who's getting married today, decided that she wanted her stepfather rather than me to give her away. Okay? And that took it to major shitty.
Fair enough, you win.
She raises her glass of Chardonnay and takes a sip. He raises his glass.
What do you say, let me make it up to both of us and I'll buy you lunch? Or tea. How about tea, if it's tea time?
Thanks very much, but I don't know you, and you don't know me, so...
That's exactly why we should have tea together.
It's very sweet of you, but thank you. No.
Well, you've got your book.
Mm.
If that's for me, I'm in the shower.
She finds herself smiling as she reaches for her mobile.
Aren't you going to answer it?
She puts down the mobile and picks up her paperback.
Should I take that as a hopeful sign? If it is, you can give me a little wider smile.
She does, and he beams. In her kitchen, Maggie looks irritably at the unanswered phone. She crosses to the window and peers out from behind the net curtain at the Polish neighbor, lifting something large and heavy onto his shoulder. Her mouth gapes as a terrible thought crosses her mind. She watches the muscle-bound man go into his shed with a large wrapped object. In the bar, the waiter brings Harvey a plate of food.
See? We're having lunch together.
No, we're having lunch next to each other.
Ah. Right. Harvey Shine.
Kate Walker. So why aren't you at the wedding?
A cleaner starts to hoover the floor of the bar.
I knew there was something that was missing. I had to get back for work.
What, for the job you just lost?
Yes, exactly.
Did you enjoy it, the job?
Yes. No. Yes, originally.
What was it?
I write jingles.
Wow.
That's a normal response.
Did you always want to write jingles, or was... you know, was there something more? What?
No, I love it. You cut right through it. I like that.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You should.
He watches her with a rueful smile. She gets on with her lunch.
I would have given anything to have been a jazz pianist.
Were you good?
No, not good enough.
Sorry, be a bit nosy.
Yeah, and I like it. Do you believe me? I have to tell you that it is a relief to find someone who actually says what they're feeling and what they're thinking, especially in a place that's supposed to be, you know, Britain, English, reserved.
Oh, no, haven't you heard? We're a nation changed. Ever since Diana died, we're all sort of flowing out of us like water. You guys showed us the way, actually. No more stiff upper lip for us.
And what is that exactly?
What?
Stiff upper lip.
I'm not sure. It's kind of a little clenched thing.
Clenched?
I think so, you know. So, you know, when you cry, your lips wobble, and when you're being strong, they don't.
Like this.
He tries to stiffen his upper lip.
No, that's sort of more like a bulldog. No, don't do that. You look like you've got no teeth at all.
It's my first attempt at a stiff upper lip.
I think it's a sort of tension in
your
jaw.
Who does that?
Aristocrats.
The aristocrats?
Posh people.
Is that one that matters?
Time passes, and later out on the concourse, they shake hands.
Thank you, I enjoyed that.
Me too. Where are you going?
I'm just going to a class, actually.
What kind of class?
Writing.
Ah.
It's just a thing twice a week I do.
Right.
I've got to get the Heathrow Express, actually, so...
I see.
What about you?
I don't know. I guess I'll stay in a hotel near here. I have a flight in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay?
Bye-bye, then.
Bye.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye. There's your phone.
Oh, yeah.
He watches her go. She glances back at him and gives him a little wave.
Hello.
They give each other another wave. Harvey looks about him as he contemplates what to do next. Kate walks along the crowded passage leading down to the Heathrow Express with a cheery smile. She waits on the platform as the train slowly pulls into the station. On the train, she's immersed in her book again. Harvey's spiky grey head suddenly appears at the other end of the compartment.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
He peers over a man's raised arm as he comes nearer to Kate.
Hi. Sorry. The thought of staying at a hotel near the runway unnerved me. Do you mind?
No.
Excuse me.
He struggles towards her with his case.
How are you?
I'm fine. You ran.
Well, I wish you'd been on the car. Four cars down. So, you okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Where are we going?
Paddington.
The Heathrow Express whizzes on along the suburban track. At Paddington, the passengers stream off the train. Kate and Harvey, both wearing light-coloured raincoats, are among them.
So, here's the taxi rank. I suppose it's bye-bye. Okay.
Oh.
they'll take you to wherever you want to go, any hotel.
You mean instead of me walking you to your class?
Kate's eyes widen in surprise.
Carry your books. I'll throw that in.
He smiles. Then she smiles.
Sure.
Is that a yes?
Yes. Why not? In which case, we have to go back this way.
You mind if I just drop these off?
Sure.
They walk off side by side. Having dropped off his luggage, he comes out of his hotel and they fall into step, he gallantly taking the pavement side. On Trafalgar Square, they walk down towards the fountains. Then they cross the Hungerford footbridge towards the South Bank, chatting all the way. From the delicate footbridge with its gleaming pylons and deck stays, they stroll along the embankment in front of the festival hall.
It's like... yours is glorious country, Honeychurch. Know that? Line from a book. Room with a View.
Ah, E.M. Forster.
Mm-hmm. You read it?
No. Do you think less of me?
No, not at all. It's just... I think we're just very different.
Probably. Is that bad?
No.
I don't think so either.
Hang on, sorry. Oh, sorry, I should get this.
Go ahead.
Hello, Mum. Hello. Sorry, I've been busy. Yeah. No, I'm out, actually. Yes, with someone. No, with someone else. Yes, a man. Oh, you did you? What, an actual body? Okay, listen, I'll come in early tomorrow morning and we'll check it out together, all right? All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, love you too. Bye. Bye. Sorry. My mum.
She worries about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, about herself, actually. She's convinced she's living next to Poland's answer to, I don't know, Jack the Ripper.
Do you live with her?
Oh, no. God, no. Near, not with. She's all right. She means well. She just had a really rough ride of it, is all.
Why?
Oh, well, my dad ran off to France with his secretary, and then about 4 years ago she got cancer. But she's completely recovered. I mean, she's fine. She just doesn't want to admit it, you know. So, she's bored, is what I think it is. So she's made my situation, which is what she calls me being single, her major distraction. It's like a sort of hobby. For her, if you like.
I see.
Sorry.
What?
No, I was just talking too much.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
No, you're not.
Anyway, we're here. This is my class.
So how long is your class?
An hour.
I can wait.
Well, it's getting cold. You don't want to wait, do you?
Not that cold.
Okay. Careful. I might get the wrong impression.
Maggie, her face drawn and pale, paces across the kitchen towards the window. She peeps down at the shed in the garden. She ventures down the hall. The shadow of the person outside is visible through the leaded stained glass panels. She peeps through the spy hole. The Polish neighbor, wearing a heavily patterned grey shirt, is standing there with a parcel under his arm. As she looks away, he leaves the parcel on the doorstep. Through the spy hole, she sees him hurry down the front steps. She opens the door and bends down to pick up the heavy, triangular-shaped parcel, wrapped in brown paper and string. With a wary expression, looking right and left, she takes it inside. On the south bank, Harvey sits waiting on a bench in front of a border of tall yellow grasses. The Millennium Wheel is visible a few hundred feet away. He smiles as he sees Kate and members of her writing group behind a tall plate glass window in a corner of the National Theatre, getting to their feet at the end of their class. Harvey gets to his feet with a smile as Kate emerges into the autumn sunshine.
How did it go?
Well, the usual. Lovely, mild-mannered Mike gave us the latest instalment from his psychosexual thriller. He's 86. Shall we keep walking? Okay. It's nice. Do you ever wish you could just live a different life? Just for a day, just to see what it would be like?
Do you have an idea what yours would be?
Right. I think it would take place in Spain, definitely. In a little house, inland.
And what would you do?
Write a book. I mean, you know, not Middlemarch or anything.
George Eliot.
Yeah, you read it?
No. So your book...
would be just a really good holiday read. You know, for the beach or the plane. I think I've got one of those inside me.
And this house that you'd live in...
Cabana. Yeah, please.
That you ride in.
Yeah.
Would it have a view?
Yes, across the plains with a little stream running around it to bathe in.
Bathe in?
Mm-hmm.
No showers?
No.
He looks a little taken aback.
Rustic.
Okay. I'll adjust. I'm there. Only if you're receiving guests, that is.
She looks momentarily wrong-footed.
Sure. You may visit Harvey Shine.
Well, thank you, Kate Walker.
A street band strikes up. They sway to the energetic rhythm. Kate and Harvey smile at each other. They walk on along the river, the light on the water turning a soft pink. Kate has wrapped her scarf around her neck. She punctuates her conversation with expansive hand gestures. Harvey, half a head shorter than her, strolls alongside with his hands in his trouser pockets. They lean on the railing and look out at the pleasure boats and other vessels moored on the river, with the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral visible in the distance on the north bank.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
What happened between you and your daughter?
I don't know. Somewhere along the way, I just lost her. I woke up one morning, and I realized that I didn't belong in that house. You know, I always had this feeling in my stomach that they were a bit embarrassed by me. I mean, if you see him now with Brian, my daughter's stepfather, you know, it just makes more sense. I mean, they really look right together. And I was not a great father.
He turns towards Kate, but his eyes are looking inward.
Is the wedding reception still going on?
I don't know. Am I still on New York time? What time is it?
About 7. Where is it on?
Grosvenor House.
Well, you have to go.
No.
Yes,
no,
you do.
No,
Harvey, she doesn't want me. It's ridiculous you're not there. You have to go.
They really don't want
me. Harvey, she's your daughter and you're her father. You have to go. Harvey, I really mean it. It's absolutely unforgivable. You have to go.
He meets her stern gaze.
Come on.
I'm thinking. You come with me.
No, I can't go to a wedding reception in bloody green polyester.
Are you trying to get me to buy you a new dress? Is that
no.
what this is all about?
No.
It is.
No,
yes, it
not.
Is.
I'm not coming.
Come as my bodyguard.
No,
come,
no.
Come as my friend.
Now Kate turns away to think. Harvey, smiling benignly, watches her think the situation through.
Okay.
I am not spending more than £200 on that frock. Is it a deal?
Yes. Harvey got that
Lexus falling when I fight. They walk through Covent Garden and Kate spots a shop she likes the look of. Inside, Harvey waits for her to try on one outfit after another. Corseted satin, a bronze sequined gown, ruffled flamenco. She gives him a little twirl, a flouncy nighty number, and finally she peers out from behind the changing curtain in a sophisticated black knee-length sleeveless dress that shows off her slender figure and long slim legs, accessorized with a pair of black stilettos. Harvey applauds, she fluffs up her hair, and he ushers her out of the shop. They arrive by cab at the Grosvenor House Hotel.
Hello.
The doormen tip their top hats as Harvey and his friend run in. In the lift, standing side by side, they suddenly look a little unsure. From the far end of an elegantly carpeted corridor, they slowly walk towards the ballroom doors. Harvey stops, but Kate gently taps him on the arm and he starts walking again. In silhouette, they arrive at the ornate glass doors. Harvey pulls them open, and he and Kate gaze down at the packed ballroom. He guides her down the steps. Jean, sitting at the top table, looks up sharply.
My wife just clocked you.
Did she?
Susan, in a strapless ivory sheath, sees them and hurriedly gets to her feet.
Hi.
Hi. I didn't go.
I'm glad.
This is Kate.
Oh, hello.
A friend.
How do you do? Congratulations. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I've gate crashed, actually.
No, she...
But it was your father. He insisted.
No. It's fine. I'm sure that there's room.
No. We'll just fit in wherever.
It's okay.
Excuse me?
Susan addresses a waiter.
Could you find them a seat?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? It's time now for the best man speech. We seem to be missing the bride. You may have seen her, dark hair, white dress. Oh, there she is. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, our best man, Pete Turner.
Pete takes the mic. Kate and Harvey have been sat at the children's table.
And thank you, Jean and Brian, for such a beautiful occasion and for...
You do know this is the children's table. Family together.
Yes.
Put this all into context. I'm going to need to take you...
The children look nothing short of hostile. Kate addresses a dark-haired boy.
Hello. ...walked into my room at Duke and announced that he was going to... A bit of a chatterbox. I thought I'd worked all my
powers of persuasion at school. And finally, I'd like to propose a toast to Susan... for making my friend Scott complete. Susan.
Harvey and Kate also clink glasses. The best man and bridegroom hug each other.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the father of the bride to say a few words. Tonight, that enviable task will fall to the ever-charming, ever-distinguished Brian, ladies and gentlemen.
Kate looks sympathetically at Harvey, whose eyes are firmly lowered.
Well, that was quite some speech, Peter. Yeah. Quite something to follow. Yeah. But I will try.
Brian?
Yes, Harvey?
Excuse me for interrupting. I think he said father of the bride.
Yes.
May I?
Go ahead, Harvey.
Debonair white-haired Brian sits back down.
Hi, everybody. I think there's something that Jean and I learned from our failed marriage, and that is that it's the children of divorce that suffer the most. And the child of Jean and Harvey Shine has had her share of pain and disappointment. But, and this is a tribute to you, Susan, it has served her well because she somehow separated herself from the fracture of her birth family to become a strong and determined and independent woman. And yet, you've kept your sensitivity and your vulnerability and your loveliness. And you look quite beautiful tonight. Scott?
Hey.
You're a lucky guy. And I'm a lucky guy because I'm looking forward to you being my son. You are my son-in-law. Never had a son. Okay, well, no pressure, but, Jane? I look forward to grandparenting with you, but that's no pressure, Scott. I toast you, Scott. I toast your wife. My daughter. I toast our family. And if I can just linger a moment longer, I'd like to hand this back to you, Brian, with a note of gratitude. Thanks for being there.
Susan, visibly moved, turns to look at Brian as he rises to his feet.
I would like to ask you all to please stand up and join Harvey and I in a toast to the bride and the groom, to Susan and to Scott.
Susan and Scott.
Scott kisses his smiling bride on the cheek. Kate, her eyes welling up, also applauds. A little later in the center of the dance floor, Scott takes Susan's arm and twirls her round, and they begin to dance to the music of the live band. Kate and Harvey are sitting facing the dance floor with their backs to the children. Kate is beaming. Harvey, his cheek resting on his arm, is smiling fondly. Scott bends Susan backwards with a grin, then turns to Harvey. He invites him to step onto the dance floor. Kate smiles at him encouragingly, and he gets to his feet, shakes hands with his son-in-law, and the two men hug. Susan's lip trembles as she watches Harvey come towards her.
Don't cry.
I won't.
They start to dance.
Oh,
thanks for coming back, Dad.
Thanks for having me back.
Kate watches them with a wistful smile.
Nothing in the world can drive me away.
Harvey bends Susan backwards, just like Scott. Wedding guests flood the dance floor, and in the thick of it, Harvey is happily dancing away. Kate, sitting at the table, wears a fixed smile on her face as she watches him and all the other well-dressed, sophisticated couples. She drains her champagne flute and fiddles with a toy car. Her curly-haired young next-door neighbor is fast asleep, head down on the table. Her smile fades, and seeing Harvey caught up on the dance floor, she gets to her feet and gently places the little boy's dinner jacket under his head as a pillow. She picks up her bag and edges along the side of the dance floor where the bridal couple start leading a conga line. Unnoticed, at the doors of the ballroom, Kate looks back one more time and then slips out. Harvey drops out of the conga line and starts back towards his table. He looks about him in confusion, seeing that there's nobody there. He looks around the ballroom and then retreats towards the doors. Kate presses a lift button. Harvey sees her from the other end of the corridor. She's facing the lift entrance and doesn't see him. He glances towards another function room and hurries into it. Kate turns her head at the sound of the piano and steps towards the open glass doors of a darkened ballroom, where she finds Harvey sitting at a piano. He grins at her. A slow smile spreads across her face. She walks in past unlit crystal chandeliers and stacked function chairs and steps towards him. She comes closer and stands over him, a look of admiration filling her dark eyes. He jerks his head, inviting her to sit down next to him. And she does. He gets up from the piano stool and takes her hand.
Because I'm going to dance your socks off.
They run back into the ballroom and take the floor. Fast and slow, goofy and sophisticated, they do all the moves. Kate whips off her high-heeled shoes and dances barefoot. And on they go, grinning from ear to ear. Much later, after the party, outside the Grosvenor House entrance, Susan, holding her bouquet of ivory white roses, says goodnight to her mother, kisses Brian on both cheeks and two other guests, then Scott guides her to the waiting limo. She tosses the bouquet backwards over her head, and a raven-haired girl catches it. Susan steps forward and hugs Harvey. She beckons to Kate to come forward, and they kiss each other. Scott helps Susan step into the limo. Jean acknowledges Harvey with an approving gesture. He turns to watch Susan smiling from the open window of the limo. She blows him a kiss, and he blows her one back. As the limo moves off, she gives a final wave to the smiling throng. Jean snuggles up against Brian, and Kate turns to Harvey.
You all right?
Yes, I am. Do you want to get out of here?
Sure.
Harvey guides her through the crowd. Outside, they wander down a long, wide, empty staircase.
Oh, really?
Yes. Why? Well, you did about 5 different dances.
No, no, I mean, why is it cutting a rug? Oh.
It's dawn as they come into the magnificent courtyard of Somerset House.
I love these dances. Children play in them in the summer. They sort of sit on them. They sit their little bottoms down on them. They love it.
The rectangular fountain of water jets rising to varying heights stands in the centre of the 18th century courtyard.
I don't think I've stayed up all night since I was a student.
They're sitting at a small wrought iron table near the fountain. Harvey studies Kate's face in profile as she stares into space.
You got sad. Why?
I was pregnant once. Didn't have it. I mean, I didn't think twice about it. That's what smart girls did. Yeah. I do sometimes wonder, you know, whether they would be funny or clever or... erotic. Stupid, really. I don't know why I told you that.
Meet me here tomorrow, okay?
What?
Right here. Right on the spot. Noon, okay?
What about your flight?
I don't have to go.
Why?
He looks at her intently, his eyes shining suggestively.
Shut up, Harvey. Stop it.
She looks across at his beaming face.
You think that now? You wait till tomorrow.
Today is tomorrow.
Harvey, we don't know anything about each other. You're, you know...
Old.
No, I wasn't going to say that. Well, OK, you're a bit older. I can be mean.
So can I.
No. Truly cantankerous.
Cantankerous. I've never been.
I should be going.
I'm very serious. I'll be here waiting at noon. Okay? Okay.
She wipes her nose and gets to her feet. As she reaches down to pick up her bag, she finds herself gazing deeply into his face. Bending over him, she kisses him softly on the lips. As she straightens, their eyes remain locked together. She steps away, and then stops, with a mixture of disbelief and wonder. Swinging her bag over her shoulder, she starts to walk across the vast courtyard, leaving Harvey sitting on his chair.
I can't hear you!
Noon!
She starts to run, skittering past a man in a luminous yellow tabard who's sweeping in a corner. Harvey Schein smiles happily. On the bus home, Kate wears a dreamy expression. Closing her eyes, she scratches her forehead and lets her fingers hover over her lips. Harvey strides energetically towards his hotel with a takeaway coffee in one hand and a paper in the other. With a goofy grin, he whacks the top of an ornamental bush with the paper and goes in through the door.
Top of the morning to you, sir.
I'm afraid they're both out of order, Mr. Schein.
Oh.
If you wouldn't mind using the stairs.
I wouldn't mind at all.
With his coffee in his hand and his paper under his arm, Harvey jogs up the metal back stairs. He stops to catch his breath, then continues on up. His coffee goes flying as he falls back on the step, clutching his chest. A young waiter comes down from an upper floor, hurriedly putting down the tray he's carrying.
What's the problem? Are you okay? Okay, I'm going to get you a doctor. Just wait, please.
Hey. Hey.
Left alone, Harvey feels his pulse and winces with the pain. Out in the street, Kate comes past a fruit stall.
Morning, Kate. You're right.
Oh, actually, can I have some grapes?
Yeah, I've got some lovely cedar grapes today.
All right then, give us a little bunch, £3 worth.
Okay, Kate.
That'll do me.
Outside the hotel, Harvey's sitting in the back of an ambulance with a blanket around his shoulders, having his blood pressure taken. Looking into a small mirror, Kate freshens up her lipstick. She's sitting at the appointed spot in the courtyard of Somerset House. Harvey's in hospital.
Drinking more coffee?
Yes, but I have to be somewhere.
And you're under stress. You haven't been sleeping well.
Yes, but I already told the nurse. Yes. I've been up all night. I'm under stress, but I have an appointment.
Okay, so try and calm down. I just need you to stay tonight.
I have to be somewhere.
Kate's cheerful expression is beginning to have an edge to it as the minutes tick by.
It looks to me like arrhythmia, which is an irregular heartbeat.
Yes, I told the nurse. It's called SVTs. I've had it since I was a kid, and I left my medication in New York, so if you could just make me out a prescription for Digoxin.
That's right. That's it. We can do that, no problem. Okay. But first, I just need to rule out all other possibilities.
No, it's arrhythmia. Please, doctor, 99%
sure it is arrhythmia.
Kate sits very still, the bag of grapes on her lap. Her stiff upper lip can't disguise the look of resigned disappointment on her face. With a sigh, she wraps her scarf around her neck and abandons the paper bag on the chair next to her. She gets up and starts to walk across the courtyard, past children playing at the fountain and people sitting at the other tables.
Nurse, can you do a 12-lead ECG and send for test for troponin?
You can't keep me.
You and anything?
Okay. No, you cannot keep me.
Also a thyroid function, please.
Please.
And can you arrange a monitor bed for him for tonight?
Next morning, Kate finishes hoovering her mother's hall.
Okay, Mum, that's me done. Got to get to work.
She pops the hoover into the cupboard under the stairs.
Why don't you stay and have some lunch?
I can't, I've got to go. Not to pry or anything, but why is there a large smoke tam under the stairs?
Oh, that, yes. It's, the neighbour gave it to me.
The Polish neighbour? So probably not a mass murderer?
Probably not.
Maggie manages a wry smile.
Are you sure you're going to be all right?
Yeah, of course I will, I'll be fine.
Men, who needs them? Remember, we've got Greece to look forward to.
Yeah.
Kate gives her a hug and then rubs at her mother's cheek. She comes down the front steps.
Morning, Kate.
Morning, Paddy.
Lovely as ever.
Thank you.
Her eyes lowered, she hurries down the leaf-strewn pavement. At the hospital, Harvey, now discharged, writes down a number on a small, pale blue notepad.
Right. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you.
He hands a pen back to the receptionist and dials the number on his mobile.
Hello, is there a Kate Walker there?
It's Harvey.
Hold on. Kate, it's for you, some guy called Harvey.
Kate, walking by with her clipboard, looks at Una and gestures no.
I'm sorry, she's not here.
Please, this is important.
Kate!
Kate waves her hand dismissively.
I'm sorry, she's busy. She won't come.
Okay, thanks.
Kate's lip is trembling as she walks away.
Sir, if I can get you to sign here.
Harvey's mobile.
Hello?
Hey, Harvey, it's Marvin. Where are you?
Oh, I'm still in London, Marvin.
Well, you get yourself back here, my friend. I got some great news. You were right. The Samuelson account, none of the kids could handle it. They couldn't nail it. They ended up picking one of your old tunes. They want you to come back and update it. We need you back, Harvey. Your old room's here waiting for you. Harvey?
Oh, well, that's great, Marvin.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, yeah, look, I don't want to eat humble pie. So what, hey, when can you get back here? Harvey?
I'm not coming back.
What?
I quit.
What do you mean you quit, Harvey? Look, man, you need us.
No, you know, I don't. As you said, it's my last chance. Look, I gotta go.
With an excited smile, he runs out to the back entrance of UCL Hospital.
Taxi! Taxi! Heathrow, I'm in a hurry.
Aggie is on duty at the agency desk. Harvey's cab pulls up outside the terminal, and he dashes inside. He hurries over to the desk.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm looking for Kate Walker. Kate?
Who wants to know?
A friend.
Una, there's a man out here asking for Kate. He says a friend?
Yes.
Friend?
Well, more than a friend.
More than a friend?
Yes.
Una folds her arms and stares at him.
Are you the American?
Yes, that's right.
She likes you, I can tell. Don't you go messing her around now. Don't you hurt her.
Oh, I won't. I wouldn't.
Well, she's not here. She's left for the day. You might still find her in her class. In fact, it starts at Burnout down at the South Bank. You know, the National.
Yes, I know.
Oh, you know, do you?
Yes, I...
Well, go on. Go and get her. See you, Harvey.
He skitters off across the polished floor.
Blood oozes from his wound like dark chocolate on a warm summer's day. He could still smell her on his glove, that deep, penetrating smell of sex. It was silent, but for the faint sound of dripping sweat. Salt was the taste that he remembered most. So salubrious, so sensual, so sexy. Thanks.
Kate, waking from her melancholy reverie, sticks her pen in her mouth and applauds with the rest of the class. Harvey's cab pulls up on Waterloo Bridge. Squinting in the sunlight, he looks across to the upper level of the National Theatre. Through the large plate glass window, he sees Kate putting on her pale raincoat. He hurries down the steps from the bridge to the embankment level. Kate comes out of the theatre building and stops in her tracks. Harvey, standing 20 feet away with his back to the river, gives her a little wave. She waves back. He strolls towards her.
Hey.
Hi.
You still here? Still in London?
Sure. Can I explain?
No, you don't need to explain.
No, I want to.
No, honestly, I don't
Kate,
need to.
Please, I was in a hospital.
Oh, God, why?
No, it's nothing. I left my pills in New York. I have this regular heartbeat. I had it since I was a kid.
Arrhythmia?
How do you know what it is?
Because my father has it.
Well, young men get it, too. Oh, Kate, I'm so sorry I wasn't there.
Oh, it's fine, Harvey.
No.
I had a lovely time, Harvey, and I like you. I really do. Thank you. You know, I don't really do fountains at noon either. I mean, I live in Wilton Green, and you live in wherever you...
I live in White Plains.
Exactly. And Monday morning, life kicks in, and we're not teenagers. We've got life and our jobs and our family and everything, and I had a lovely time. I won't forget it. Thank you. But,
What?
Well, it's not, you know, real life.
It is.
No, it isn't, Harvey.
It is.
No, it's not, Harvey. It's not.
No, but it is real life. It's real life for me.
No, I know, but it's not just about you, is it? It's about me as well. You don't know anything about me. Look at me. I mean, it's pathetic. I expected you not to show. In fact, I think I actually almost wanted you not to show because it's just easier
that way. You know, you just dive in there, don't you? Just whoosh anywhere, deep end. And I'm not a bloody swimming pool, Harvey, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because it'll hurt. Sometime or other, there'll be, you know, it's not working, or I need my space, or whatever it is, and it will end and it will hurt, and I won't do it. I won't do it, and I won't.
She lurches off towards the embankment railing, her shoulders heaving. Harvey watches her from a distance as she looks out across the river, the sunlight highlighting her hair. Slowly, her sobs subside. She turns to face him with a miserable expression, her fair hair flopping across her face. But then she's momentarily distracted by a seemingly endless fleet of cyclists in orange who come whizzing between them. Slowly she takes a few steps towards him and sits down on the end of a bench in the middle of the promenade. Harvey strolls towards her.
You see, what I think it is I think that I'm more comfortable with being disappointed. I think I'm angry with you for trying to take that away.
She brings out her mobile.
Mum, I love you, but not now.
Harvey stands looking down at her from a few feet away.
Should I take that as a hopeful sign?
Keeping her eyes firmly lowered, Kate lets slip a half smile.
If you give me just a little wider smile.
Shut up, Harvey.
Harvey beams.
So, how's this going to work, Mr. Shine?
I have absolutely no idea. But it will. I promise you that.
Shall we walk?
He nods emphatically.
Yes.
She stows away her mobile, pulls the straps of her bag up over her shoulder, and gets to her feet. He pats her lightly on the back, and they set off along the embankment, in an easterly direction.
You okay?
With the afternoon sun on their backs.
Hang on a sec.
She stops, takes off her shoes, and slips her arm through his. The two of them, now almost the same height.
That's better.
I think you're my kind of girl.
As they walk along, school children in purple uniform walk along the railings in a line.
Why don't you ask me those questions?
Which ones?
You know, at the airport when I avoided you.
Oh, the questionnaire?
Yes.
Okay, name?
Harvey Shine.
Place of residence?
I'm in transition.
From behind and above, their two pale-coloured raincoats disappear into the distance, beneath the swaying branches of two rows of leafy plane trees. Written and directed by Joel Hopkins, produced by Tim Parrell and Nicola Osborne. Dustin Hoffman, Emma Thompson, in Last Chance Harvey. Audio description by Veronica Hicks for IMS. Eileen Atkins, Kathy Baker, Leanne Balaban, James Brolin, Richard Schiff. Executive producer Jawal Ungar. Director of photography John de Borman, BSc. Edited by Robin Salas. Line producer Guy Tannehill. Production designer John Henson. Music by Dickon Hinchcliffe. Music supervisor Michael Hill. Costume designer Natalie Ward. Casting by Laura Rosenthal, and Ali Farrell, Elaine Granger. The Polish neighbour wearing gold-rimmed specs peeps through his spy hole. He opens the door to Maggie standing there with a cooked ham.
Hi.
Hello.
I wanted to say thank you. Smoked?
Yes. Please, come in.
Oh, no, I can't. I shouldn't. I have to.
Please.
Perhaps you could just show me how to cut it.
Absolutely.
Maggie steps inside, and the Polish neighbor closes the door.